We're in the book of Jonah in the third chapter. Remember that there are two main parts to the book of Jonah. The book divides right down the middle, the first two chapters and the last two. The first two chapters are all about Jonah in the fish's belly and so on. So the division or the dividing line is before and after Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Just as time, history, all history can be divided into two parts, before and after Calvary, before and after the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Saviour. So we're taking our text tonight from the second part, the second section of the book, chapter 3 and verse 4. It says of Jonah that he began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. Think of how he preached, the earnestness. He cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The words at the end of the text especially we want to ponder this evening. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I'm sure you're familiar with the name of Charles Finney. He was a noted evangelist in America in the 19th century. He started out in his life intending to be a lawyer, studied law. But one morning, when he was sitting in the lawyer's office, where he was receiving some training, it was like a placement, he was sitting there just before the day's work began, and the Lord began to speak to him about his heart and his soul and his life, and questions came to his mind. Question, Charles, what will you do after you've finished and completed your studies? And the answer that it came to his mind was, well, I'll practice law. So what will happen then after you've practiced law? Well, he thought to himself, I will get rich by being a lawyer. And then another question, the same question kept repeating itself, persisting in his heart and mind. What then, after you've become rich as a lawyer through that profession? Well, he thought to himself, then I'll retire and take my ease. And then the same question came again another time. What will happen after you retire, Charles? Well, then, he thought towards the end of his life, well, then I'll die and go from this world. And then the question came one more time. Well, then, Charles, what then? After you've engaged your life in the law profession, made a lot of money, retired and taken your ease and enjoyed the pleasures of this world, and then you die and go out into eternity, what then, Charles? And he shuddered as he sat at the desk in the lawyer's office that morning, because the thought that came to his mind was the judgment. That's what then. And I want you, men and women, to think over your life, to think forward, and think when your life is over, when your days on this earth are done, and you ask yourself tonight the same question, what then? And the answer, men and women, is the same, the judgment. You have here the reality that we must all face, the fact that there is a judgment that is to come. And I pray the Lord might write that message in power upon your heart tonight, especially if you know not the Savior. Remember, that is the message of this passage, Jonah chapter 3. And in particular, that is the message of the text, Jonah 3 and verse 4, that we have taken tonight. There's judgment to come. And that, men and women, is the message that Jonah the prophet, as he walked through the streets of Nineveh, preached to the people, the Ninevites of that great city. Remember, Nineveh was a vast city. It's suggested by some of the historians that have recorded the events of the cities and kingdoms of those days that its walls were 60 miles in length, a vast city. Remember, the Bible itself describes it as a city of 3 days' journey. What that meant was it would take you 3 days to get around or to get across the city of Nineveh. Gives you some idea, some perspective of the vastness of this place. It was inhabited, as far as its cities, as far as its citizens was concerned, by up to 1 million people. You often, if you read about the cities of the earth today, they're very quick to establish the population as far as the census is concerned. Well, here's a city that had perhaps up to 1 million souls within it. That's one of the reasons why God described it as that great city. Do you remember one of the final details that you're given about this city in the book of Jonah is there was 120,000 infants, those that could not discern between their right hand and their left. 120,000 little children alone were found in the city of Nineveh. So I want you to take that in tonight. This was a vast city, a vast mission field. And this lonely preacher walked through the midst of that vast multitude. And as he did so, he repeated the words of this solemn and yet this pointed sermon, this pointed message that the Lord had given to him. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We could sum that message up by saying this. He was declaring to these people, judgment, the judgment of God, is soon to come upon this city. And men and women, it is that sobering truth, that sobering fact of coming judgment that I want to remind you of tonight and that I want us to look at and consider together in this gospel service. There's a few things just about coming judgment that I'll emphasize to you, praying the Lord by His Spirit will apply them to the hearts, especially of those that know not Christ. Think, first of all, that there is certainty in this message of judgment. The text says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The judgment that Jonah preached about and spoke about in the name of the Lord, it was something that was sure. It was something that was certain. There was no doubt, no question about it. As Jonah made his way through the streets and avenues of Nineveh, he didn't preach to the people that, well, there may be judgment. There's a possibility God's judgment will fall. There's a threat of the judgment of God upon this city. He didn't preach in those terms. No, it was certain judgment that was about to come. This was something that would definitely take place. God had set the day, in very fact. The appointment had already been made. It was just 40 days away. And they as a people, they as a city, were quickly hastening towards that day. Judgment was certain, men and women. You ask tonight, how did Jonah know that judgment was certain? How could he be so sure about it, so dogmatic about that fact? How? Well, because God had told him in His Word. Did you notice how the chapter began? And the Word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Notice as well the end of verse 2. The Lord sent them to Nineveh to preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Isn't that interesting? Mark the words. You see, it wasn't Jonah's theory. It wasn't Jonah's idea, Jonah's philosophy, or his notion, or his hunch.
the judgment was about to fall. No, he was sure, and he was sure for this reason. God had said it. God himself had declared it in his word. Can I take time tonight to say to all in this meeting without Christ that you need to know tonight, you need to know clearly, plainly, that the Bible speaks of a day of judgment. A day of judgment for every sinner. And I want you to know this. All that you will ever need to know about the day of judgment, all that you will ever need to know about what will happen and what will follow that day of judgment, you'll find it in this book. You'll find it recorded in the Bible. And I want to urge you, men and women, study the Word. Come faithfully to the gospel meetings. Listen carefully to what the Word of God teaches about eternal things. And the Bible leaves us in absolutely no doubt that there will be such a day. Do you remember the words of Job? Because there is wrath. There's no doubt about it. Not the slightest bit of ambiguity. There is wrath. It's certain, men and women. There is a day of destruction. There is a day of doom that is fast approaching. Think of what Paul preached standing on Mars Hill in Athens. He said of the Lord, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. So I want you to say this day is certain. In fact, it is so certain it is already fixed. The date is already down in the calendar of God. You remember the book of Hebrews, those familiar words. It speaks of two appointments. It's appointed unto men once to die. Can I remind you of that tonight? We have announced already in this meeting a death nearby of one so young, just in their early 50s. Our brother Paul was telling me just before the service this evening of another young mother in her early 50s in Market Hill, died just in recent days. I want you to think of that. It's appointed unto men once to die. The uncertainty of the time. You don't know when you'll be taken away. But the verse goes on, and after this, after death, there is the judgment. So here, men and women, are the two great appointments that every person is sure to keep. One with death and the other with the judgment. And just as the day that you die, the day that you will die is a fact, an indisputable fact, it is an appointment that no one tonight disputes. The reality, men and women, of your appointment at the judgment is every bit as sure and every bit as certain. Can I say to you tonight, don't fool yourself. Many would want you to laugh these things off. Don't you fool yourself for one minute. The judgment day is coming. God's judgment day is coming. You can live as you please. You can live as you like. You can fill your hands with sin. You can enjoy all the pleasures of this world and all the pleasures of sin. And there are pleasures in sin. The Bible teaches us that, but they're only for a season, only for a little while. You can satisfy yourself with all the lusts of the flesh. But remember this. Remember what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. For all these things, all of them, God will, see the certainty of it, the sureness, God will bring thee into judgment. There is, men and women, a day of judgment. Don't you dismiss this. Don't sweep it or brush it to the side lightly as something that's only fiction, something that belongs to the realm of myth. I want you to know tonight, there is nothing surer than the fact that the judgment day will come. And what that means for you is this. You need to repent. You need to be saved. Paul, in that great sermon that he preached on Mars Hill in Athens, said, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. See the broadness of the message? All men everywhere, not just those that were before Paul that day. Takes you in tonight as well. The message is you're to repent. Turn from your sin. You say, why should I repent? Well, he tells you in that same sermon. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. You need to repent and be saved simply because of the judgment. If you don't repent, what that will mean is you'll be doomed. And you'll be doomed eternally on that great day. So there is certainty in this message of judgment. I want you to see as well that there's completeness in this message of judgment. Look at the words of the text. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Mark the word. Jonah's message to the Ninevites was this. This city, this vast, this great city, with all its inhabitants, they're going to perish. They're going to experience utter destruction. They're going to face complete ruin. See, God's judgment on Nineveh would spell the end for the great city of Nineveh. There will be no more opportunities. There will be no more second chances, no more hope of salvation. This judgment that was about to fall, so soon to come, it will be final, complete, irrevocable. You see the word overthrown that is used there in the text? It's exactly the same word used in the scripture to describe what God did to Sodom. The destruction of that vile and wicked city of Sodom. Do you remember the book of Genesis says, speaking of the Lord, that he overthrew those cities? It's exactly the same word. And let me give you an idea tonight of how final that overthrow, how final that judgment of God on that city was. Peter gives us a little detail about what happened at Sodom. Peter says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Isn't that sobering, men and women? You think of it. There is nothing more final than ashes. And that's what the Lord did to Sodom. The day of wrath, the day of doom for Sodom, when judgment came and fell, it was something that was final and something that was complete. It meant an end had come. It meant that city and the other cities of the plain, they were finished. Ashes. That means God wiped them off the face of the earth. You ask tonight, where is Sodom today? Well, that's a good question. It's a very interesting question. In all probability, Sodom is at the bottom of the Dead Sea. That's what the Lord did to Sodom. He wiped it off the face of the earth. And that's what the Lord would have done to Nineveh by some supernatural intervention. Maybe by fire from heaven, maybe by a great earthquake. But he was going to destroy Nineveh forever, overthrow the city. God's judgment is final. Listen, men and women. Listen carefully tonight. God's judgment for those who die without Christ, go from this world without God's salvation. God's judgment for those souls will be final too. Make no mistake about that. Paul in the Hebrews, he speaks about eternal judgment. In other words, God's judgment for those that die without salvation, it's something that will never end. The book of the Revelation gives us a description of it. It says that the smoke of their torment, what will it be like in hell? you think of the flames, and there's a reference to the smoke that will go with it. But even worse than that, men and women, the torment, the awful torment of the souls, the smoke of their torment, it says, ascendeth up for how long? Forever and ever. I want you to see, men and women, the Bible teaches the great doctrine of eternal punishment. In eternity, the sinner is punished forevermore. Sometimes it's hard to take that in. Their punishment and judgment will have no end. There will be no way out, no way of escape. You think of Luke 16. Teaches clearly that between the redeemed and the damned in eternity, there's a great gulf fixed. That means there's no way for a soul out of hell. No way to escape the torment. Those that are in hell are there to stay. You think for a moment of those two words found in Ephesians chapter 2. No hope. Not solemn, men and women, no hope. You know, it's one thing to be lost and to need salvation. But it's an entirely different thing to be lost and to have no hope of salvation. You think of being in that condition, how fearful that would be. And remember, that will be your condition. If you die without Christ, go from this world without your sins forgiven, you will be without hope in eternity. That's what the judgment day will bring and hold for you if you die without Christ. Then those two words will describe your lot and describe your condition. No hope of escape. No hope of relief from the pain and from the fire. No hope of salvation. No hope of mercy. No hope of heaven. Not ever. Job said, because there is wrath, beware. And we want to sound that warning tonight. Lest he take thee away with a stroke. Just in a moment. Just in an instant. Just in a little time. Take thee away with a stroke. And then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Take that in, men and women. The frightening reality is, If you die unsaved, then you will have lost every possibility of ever being saved. Ever being saved. The completeness of the judgment. And there's one other thing. And that is that there is compassion in this message of judgment. Look at the words at the beginning of our text. He says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Never forget, men and women, we emphasized this morning in our studies in the book of Ruth, the main message of every book of the Bible. That's something you should look for. And never forget that the main message of the book of Jonah is not about a big fish. That's certainly an interesting aspect of this story. It's something that is worthy of our consideration. But the main message of the book of Jonah is not about the big fish. The main message that God gives in this book is not about the runaway prophet, the man that ran away from God and ran away from God's will for his life. And there's certainly great lessons we can learn from that as well. The main message of the book of Jonah, men and women, is not about man. The main message of the book of Jonah is all about God. And it's about God's love and God's mercy for sinners. The Lord said at the end of this chapter, shall not I spare Nineveh, that great city. See that word spare? It is the idea of God's pity, God's love, God's mercy. And I want you to see, men and women, that the mercy of God stands clearly. It stands unmistakably in this book. Even in this message that Jonah preached to the people of coming judgment. You ask, how is that? How do you see mercy in a message of judgment? Well, we see it because of this. God delayed his judgment. It's not mercy, men and women. He's holding it back. God held back his judgment. He didn't overthrow these Ninevites immediately that they sinned against him. The Lord were quick to mark iniquity. Who would stand? Didn't overthrow them immediately. He waited. You see, here is his patience. You see the fact that he's long-suffering. Even though this city was ripe for judgment, even though their wickedness cried out to heaven for vengeance, God said he would spare them, and he would spare them for another 40 days. Here's a great example, men and women, of that great biblical truth, that great biblical principle of the Lord in wrath, remembering mercy. It was very clear they were guilty. It was very clear that their sins provoked the Almighty. It was very clear they deserved to be damned. But what a wonder, men and women. Know that great gospel hymn, The Wonder of It All? What a wonder that despite all of that, God was still more willing to save these people than he was to destroy. What Jonah was actually telling these people was, you can still escape God's wrath. You can still be delivered from the day of judgment. There's still time to be saved. In these 40 days, what God is doing is, he's giving you time, he's giving you space to repent of your sin. And those here in our meeting without Christ, what you need to do is this, men and women. Ponder for a moment and ask. Ask yourself the question, why has God spared you? Spared you all this while. God spared you to this day. Why do you think God didn't cut you off from this world and cut you off in your sins long before now? You know, there's some people here in the meeting, some people in your families, some in this city, and it hasn't been 40 days that God has held back. In some instances, it has been years, maybe for some of you, the Lord has waited for over 40 years, not just 40 days, as you have persisted in your sin. Why is that, men and women? Why has he waited? It's because of his love. He's giving you time. Will you see that tonight? Oh, that God would help you to. He's giving you time to be saved. Do you see how merciful our God has been to you? You have sinned against him all your days. You have sinned against him all your life. Your sins have mounted and are mounting up to heaven. And yet, God has not brought you down to destruction or down to ruin as yet. Let me issue a solemn warning, men and women, that you do well. You do well tonight to ponder that very carefully. And you do well to respond to the mercy and love of God. What response, you ask me, should you give? You should get saved. You should get ready for eternity tonight, today, in this very meeting. Can I ask you to remember this important truth? The people in the days of Jonah, they had God's judgment held back for 120 years. Think of that, a long, long period of time. All the while that Noah was preparing and building the ark. But for the people of Nineveh, they were only given 40 days. Not 40 months, not 40 years. In the days of Noah 120 years and the days of Nineveh just 40 days. And the warning is this, men and women, there's a clear lesson, a clear warning. I pray that you'll see the message. The warning is, God will give you time. God will give every sinner time. God will give you space to repent of your sins. But don't you presume tonight, don't you presume that you'll get as much space as others. Just because some other person has lived a long life and rejected God's mercy and is still in this world and in this life, don't you think, men and women, that God will do the same for you? Don't you presume that you'll get as much space to repent of your sins as others have? There is great mercy here, men and women. Great mercy in this message. But I want you to see that there's also great urgency in it. And the urgency is found in this fact. You don't have much time. 40 days. That's not long. Just a little over a month. There's great urgency here in the sermon that Jonah preached to these people. You need to repent. And you need to repent immediately. You need to turn from your sins now while the door of opportunity is still open to you. The book of Hebrews says, today, this very day, this Sabbath day, if you will, hear his voice and harden not your heart. So there's judgment to come, men and women. The message that Jonah preached to these Ninevite people. I'll say this to you in closing. Parents sometimes say to their children when they've misbehaved, and they tell them off, they say, just as a concluding word, something like, you have been warned. You've been warned. And that was true of the Ninevites. As he preached that message, he was God's messenger, Paul said to the Colossians, warning every person. And that's what Jonah did in Nineveh. It was true of the Ninevites. But you know, it's also true of you tonight as well. You have been warned so many times. Warned about the future. And you've been warned about not just the future temporally, but the future eternally. What the future will hold in eternity. And I want to plead with you, men and women, at the close of this gospel meeting. I want to plead with you to do what the people of Nineveh did. And repent. They repented in sackcloth and ashes. You repent before the Lord tonight. And repent while you still have the opportunity, while the door of grace and mercy is still open to you. You repent, my friend, before it is forever too late. You think of it like this. Two words. Repentance or ruin. That's what Nineveh faced. Eternal ruin. That's the message. That's the message Jonah preached. In essence, that's the message of the Bible. And that, men and women, is the choice that God still gives to you today, gives to every sinner. One of two options. Repentance or ruin. Either you repent or you'll be eternally ruined, damned, in hell, and lost eternally. Which will it be for you? May you repent tonight, my friend. May God give you grace and help to repent of your sins and be saved. Yet, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a message of coming judgment. May God tonight be pleased to speak to hearts through it in this meeting. 100-